sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means send. So he went and washed and came back seeing. There's a big contrast between how the disciples meet this man and how Jesus meets this man. The disciples looked at him and they saw a condition. They saw this man as someone who had some sort of sin, some sort of infirmity, and so because of that, they chose to talk about him. And so they want to know then more about him, and they say, well, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? Jesus, conversely, looks at this man and sees him as one that God will use to display his works. He chooses not to talk about the man, but rather he chooses to talk to the man born blind. The disciples choose to turn this man into an object lesson. That's all he is. He's a mere object for their purpose here so that they can have a talking point with Jesus. So he's that object lesson. But Jesus chooses to treat this man with dignity and respect as he spoke to him personally and meets him with mercy. Now, you and I may not have the ability to heal people like Jesus does, but we do have the ability to show people mercy because of Christ's work in us. Now, mercy defined is not giving someone what they do deserve. Mercy is not giving someone what they do deserve. The disciples concluded that this man born blind did deserve his state of blindness. He deserved it. He deserved it because of his sin, or he deserved it because his parents were sinners. But no matter what, he deserved that state. And so sadly, this seems to be the lens that they look at God. They saw God through this eye of punishment and condemnation. So a person, if they had an infirmity or maybe a handicap of some kind, well, it must mean that God was punishing them for their sin or maybe the sin of their parents. But no matter what, this man here on the side of the street, he's making payment for whatever sins have been committed. And so, does this mean then that the disciples, as they're standing there, think of themselves as if they're not sinners? And, you know, the text doesn't really say, but it does seem that they're trying to separate themselves from this man as they're turning him into an object lesson, because they're saying somehow, making this conclusion, well, this guy, he's a sinner, because he's obviously a sinner because he's got this infirmity, but we are obviously somewhat better. So fast forward, what about us? Do we tend to be more interested in talking about people rather than talking to them? Do we tend to be more interested in turning people into object lessons rather than showing them mercy? Do we tend to build ourselves up while tearing others down because we want to make ourselves feel better about ourselves? Do we tend to point out sometimes, even in that dialogue, inner dialogue, or with someone else, do we tend to point out some people just get what they deserve? And then, do we tend to be blind then to see what we deserve? The disciples, as well as the Pharisees and the Jews, were all blinded by this sinful arrogance to clearly see what they deserved. In our Fundamentals in the Faith class on Saturday mornings, we are blessed to have a dozen people right now learning about the scriptures and learning about what our church teaches as Lutherans. And in a recent lesson, we learned that the law shows our sins and the gospel shows our Savior. The law shows our sins, the gospel shows our Savior. And this is present in every single one of our sermons. Well, when learning about the law, we see that God gifts us with the Ten Commandments. It's a gift given to us in love so that we clearly see we are sinners. We're sinners, and because we're sinners, we need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. And so living in this sinful state, I need someone to save me. I need Jesus. But the disciples, the Pharisees, and the Jews, however, were blinded to this truth. They didn't see the law as somehow God's gift of love. They saw it, no, as a tool of power for them to use to condemn people in their sin. Instead of using the law to lead people towards repentance and ultimately lead them to that gospel gift of forgiveness, they instead led people to believe that the only way to be saved was somehow by ascending, doing some sort of good works to get there. Well, you just got to try harder. You just got to do more. You just got to meet this measure. Oh, wait, and then we're going to move it on you. Sadly, though, for someone blind from birth, there seemed to be no hope. Because it was if they were now branded by the Jewish leaders that they were sinners, doomed to damnation, and the proof of that was their infirmity. But then there's Jesus. He looks at this man, and he looks at him in love. He looks at him through eyes of mercy and compassion, and he said, it's not that this man sinned. It's not that his parents sinned. It was so that the works of God could be put on display. You see, through this man born blind, even though he didn't deserve it either, God chose to use him to teach the disciples and teach the Jews and teach the Pharisees that salvation doesn't come by your works. Salvation comes by none other than the man that meets people with mercy. It comes by Jesus. And so we see in this striking series of events that this man born blind, he goes from a mere beggar on the side of the street to one who is increasingly emboldened before his accusers. In those 41 verses here, in the first exchange with his neighbors, he says, well, I don't even know where the guy is who healed me. I really don't know anything about him. In the second exchange with the religious leaders, he declares now that Jesus is a prophet. And then the parents are brought in, and the parents are like, whoa, we're not going to touch that. We don't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. But then what does the guy say who was healed? He says, well, do you want to be his disciple? To those religious leaders? And they're like, who are you to teach us, you sinner? And everything, and they kick him out. And then after they kick him out, then he goes and he finds Jesus, and all of a sudden he says, I believe. I believe, and he worships Jesus. In a matter of what appears to only be a matter of hours, this man born blind goes from a sinner condemned to damnation to an emboldened follower of Jesus who now has his eyes fixed on Jesus and now he's set on his sights for eternal life with Christ. What a beautiful process there that we get brought into. It's as the hymn lyrics go, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. What would it look like if we saw our lives as a ministry of mercy? What would it look like if we considered others, no matter who they may be, not as object lessons to talk about, because it seems like we all love to talk about other people, but instead of talking about other people, rather we saw people as those who are made in the image of God, and therefore we engage with them. What if we were less interested in pointing out the fact that those people are sinners, certainly worse sinners than me, and instead we're more interested in confessing our own sins? You see, when we're blinded by our own sinful arrogance, we fail to see our own sins and our need for a Savior, but we also fail to see all of the opportunities before us where we could meet people with the mercy of God. Again, mercy defined is not giving someone what they do deserve. Well, what do we deserve? Have we been arrogant? Have we turned people into object lessons, talking about them rather than going to them and engaging with them? Have we failed to show others mercy in their time of need? What do we deserve? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but," and I love that "but" in there, by the way, because it doesn't leave us hanging, "but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We deserve death. We deserve eternal death. We deserve condemnation in hell. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. But Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." If you want to hear more about that, come back next week. I'm preaching on that verse next week. So that's a preview. All right. Because of the one who has shown us mercy, because of the mercy shown towards us, we don't get what we deserve. He got what we deserved. On the cross of Calvary, there was no mercy for the Son of God. Jesus endured the wrath of God against sin that should have been yours and should have been mine. And try as we may, we can never comprehend what that means to endure the wrath of God. We can't understand it. And why? Because we have been met with mercy. We who have been conceived and born in utter sin, we who have been cleansed now and baptized to confess that this man who was born blind, we get to confess with him and say, "Lord, I believe. I believe in you, Jesus. You are my Savior." And all of that is not by our doing. It's because of Christ in us. He is the one who meets us with mercy. He meets us in His Word. He meets us in His sacraments. He comes to us so that we who are blind now may see. We see our Savior clearly. We see our Savior for who He is. He is the one who has come to us to bring us to be with Him for all eternity. And so we trust and follow Him with all of our hearts and for all of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen.